Hey guys, welcome back to the Spates Waterlad podcast. Time Surly Talk Sport Rugby World Cup preview show. Now, obviously, no one sent in any new names for us last week, so we're going to have to keep running with that, even though it's an absolute shambles. But I guess everyone is still focused on what is important, which is the Rugby World Cup. And what a first round of footy. And we've even got a special guest with us joining us. No man knows the European version of rugby better than this man. He's watched plenty of code from the best seat of the house, the bench, over the last 5 years. So looking forward to having his insight on the preview show. It is Jacob Atkins. Welcome, mate.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Jim. Yeah, mate, you don't learn like the game anything like being mic'd up on the touchline to the coaches. You hear all the good conversations, you run a tee decent. Thanks for having me on, boys. I had a listen to the preview last week, and geez, Jim, I think you must have just asked me to come on this to have someone to disagree with, because both you boys are predicting the same, singing off the same hymn sheet, so hopefully I can offer a different opinion.
Exactly, mate. That's exactly why you're on, to give us a bit of reality. We're probably a little bit Southern Hemisphere heavy on the show. That's probably where we spend a lot of our time watching our code, so I'm looking forward to having your insight and a few disagreements, although this week's it's hard to disagree on too many, but we might find one or two. But, of course, as always, everyone will know who else is on the show. It's, of course, Surly Talk Sports, the most iconic voice in New Zealand. He's back on, coming from Greece after watching the first round in France. He's over in Greece now, just living the absolute dream. How are you, lad?
Yeah, good, mate. Can't complain. Sun's out. Slowly getting rid of the old winter sock tan as well, which has been a real bonus. So by the time I get back to New Zealand, I'll be able to rock the jandals without copping a bit of flack from the boys. But yeah, it was a tough shift in Paris. Fair to say the French got one up over us, both on the field and off the field. They certainly let me know about it, so it was good to escape, get over to Greece and just kind of recoup before heading back over to watch some All Black wins.
Yeah, what was it like? What was the atmosphere like in the mix?
Oh, it was pretty crazy, eh? They're a different level of passionate. I always say Kiwis love their sport, but I think the French are next level, like just crying during the anthem. Every scrum they won, they were just giving it the big ones like they'd won the World Cup, lighting flares, every penalty. I tell you what, great place to be a goal kicker. In New Zealand, you get heckled, but they worship them over there. And then just random, like, outbreaks into the national anthem, just like, you know, just the whole place is quiet and then some bloke will just spark it up. I can't imagine us Kiwis doing that. So yeah, it was a good taste of a different side of the culture for sure.
Mate, it sounds like good stuff. I reckon you would have been starting up some random huckers, surely.
Yeah, the hucker isn't really my go-to unless I've had a fair few, to be fair. So,
I keep
the huckers away. Maybe if we were on the front foot dominating, then I would have ripped out a couple. But yeah, save that for maybe the big games.
Oh, the final with RTS under the sticks. Looking forward to seeing that.
Look out.
And great news, guys. We have got a new sponsor on for the podcast. It's Mint Undies, the best undies on the planet. Obviously, Jerome Kino's business. So stay tuned with a few giveaways of gift vouchers for Mint Undies on the Waterlad Instagram page. Might be a few competitions or maybe someone who just goes really good at fantasy. But a few will be sent your way. Let me know your address in Greece, Surly, and you can try these things on for yourself, because no doubt you probably need a new pair over there as well.
Yeah, a bit of an impromptu photo shoot, poolside in Mykonos, you reckon. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, it could work. Anyway, we'll get into the code. Firstly, Ethan Blackhead is over. It has come true. How good's that? Have you spotted the man over there in the flesh yet?
Nah, but I do wonder if there was a bit of insider trading there, eh? Obviously, you're pretty close with him, so maybe you got the tip before the boys did and you got in on that one, because that is one of the great early crows of all time, and no doubt you'll probably take that one to your grave. I see you've been trumpeting it all over Instagram again, resharing the reel just to let people know where they heard it first, so well played from you, mate.
It certainly wasn't insider trader, because even Ethan, I noticed he said it was the last thing he was expecting, so he's a very humble man, but he said it very honestly, and like it sort of proved that he hasn't been listening to enough Waterlad. He hasn't been watching the preview show, so I was a little bit disappointed in him there, because he could have been one step ahead for sure. What do you think about Ethan Blackadder, Jake? Give us an honest opinion from your side of the fence, because you love to bag a Kiwi.
This is absolute crook, mate. Eh? Jim, I've known you long enough. There is no way you didn't know something going on. Working in Super Rugby, you're the most crook bloke I've ever met. This is a setup. You're playing with the AB's coaches, playing the long game to build what a lad. But yeah, look, I mean, yeah, he just adds incredible depth to already amazing pack, doesn't he? Like, there's nothing more to say. The depth some of these teams in the competition this year is scary, eh? Like, you look at injuries, or like when we go through the preview this week, there's a couple of teams rotating a bit, and there's just no drop off in quality, is there? It's just players coming in and adding more quality, more firepower to some of these, especially the big four teams. Like, geez, it's the strongest I've seen it for a long time.
Yeah, it's definitely the difference, eh, between the, I guess, the stronger sides and the relatively minnows, where they can't really rotate their side at all. But we will get into the footy. Look at one question about footy and snakes right on. So looking forward to getting into the real preview stuff. But we'll quickly review the games, get your thoughts on what happened in the weekend. So obviously we'll start with the big one that started it, All Blacks game. Hell of a start for the All Blacks. First 2 minutes, I thought, well, geez, these boys are on. They were absolute clinic off the kickoff into the try. And, it was all looking pretty good. But that was about the extent of it. What'd you make of the game, Surly?
Yeah, obviously, like you said, dream start. But then from there on out, I thought we were kind of outplayed in most aspects. There were still some positives and some real... You could tell the boys were trying hard. There were some real effort areas there where we ticked the boxes, but I think we were just outclassed, and it wasn't just from the starting side, it was the bench as well. I think when the French unleashed their bench, they got a massive another hit of momentum. They were just too good. I think our discipline really hurt us. I think it was 12 penalties to 4. They kicked 5 nudges, we kicked 1. When Ramos has his boot on like that, you just can't gift points and opportunities. So that was a real negative. And then the second negative for me was inability to play off back foot ball again. We've gone back to just putting in these dinky little nudges, 50-50 type of chip kicks and kicking away quality possession. I think we need to come up with a better way when we're seeing these rush defenses and we aren't getting gain line, a better way to try wrestle momentum back in our favour, because preying on the bounce of a ball isn't going to get you the results against these top four sides.
Yeah, you mentioned the kicking game there. I think that was basically the difference in the game. The French kicking game was all over ours, and we didn't really get any results from our contestable kicks, like you're saying. And Jake, you're obviously kicking game expert. What do you make of the kicking game? The French kicked 44 times. I heard a lot of complaints around people saying the All Blacks kicked too much, but the French actually kicked 44 times, way more than us. And every time we did manage to try and run it back, that was where the French got their points from. So got to be careful with some of this kicking game stuff, but I think the French definitely had a better kicking plan than we did.
Yeah, 100%. And like, it's funny you say that, isn't it? So often that's the case where one team will cop a load of stick online or on the comms from kicking more, and then you actually look at the stats and It's actually the other team that's kicked better. It's just people notice kicks more when they're shit aimless kicks.
Yeah,
exactly like you mentioned. Those are the ones that stick in people's memory. People don't remember good territorial kicks to get teams out of trouble or to find space and generate momentum. And then, like you mentioned, the big one for me, boys, was discipline. Like, the penalty count difference is too big in a tight test match like that. And I don't think I've ever seen anyone strike a cleaner ball than Ramos does. Like even the best kickers of all time, you see a slight right to left or a slight left to right. That guy throws it like a dart. Like, you just, anything in your half, you cannot give him a chance to get into the game. So for me, yeah, I felt they let France off the hook a little bit too often, sorry. And then the penalty count. You give them 12 penalties, he's going to kick 6 of them.
Where do you see France in the overall scheme of things? Obviously, a good start for them, but South Africa, Ireland looked pretty good as well. There's England, mate, going up in threes.
For me, and it's easy to sit here, obviously wasn't on last week or the week before to say it after a good French result, but for me, coming into this tournament, France were the clear favourites. I think for the last couple of years in Europe, France and Ireland have just been going at each other in domestically, the in the European competition, the big French clubs and the big Irish clubs, and then in the Six Nations. And just over the last 18 months, I think that I've seen those two teams push each other to a level that Northern Hemisphere teams probably haven't been at, maybe since, well, in my lifetime. But for me, France, unless they meet Ireland in this tournament, I can't see anyone who beats France.
Wow.
I think Ireland have their number, but I can't, if they don't draw Ireland in the game, I can't see them losing the game this whole tournament. They've got too much depth. They've got too much quality. They've been playing in big games in the Six Nations in Europe for the last couple of years. I just feel like they are the hot team. And it's easy to sit here in the seat after they've done that against New Zealand at the weekend. If they'd lost, but I've still come here and said the same thing.
you would have, mate. I know what you're like. You would have been backing the French from a long way out. But no, that's exactly why you're on, mate, and different view. And it's an interesting take because you're right around how the French and the Irish have been going at each other for the last few years. So, and both teams are playing some exceptional rugby. But we'll quickly get through these next few games. Obviously, Italy, Namibia, Snake, obviously you're living in Italy. Give us a rundown of the Italian side.
Yeah, this Italian side is a good side, boys. They, I think a lot of people who maybe don't watch the Six Nations or don't watch much European rugby or maybe put them into that bracket with like Georgia and some of the other minnow teams, they're definitely in that next category up, closer to, you know, that second, closer to like your England's and Wales is at the moment, lads. Like they're a seriously well-coached team. They're a seriously organised team. I didn't like the backline setup they started with in this game against Namibia. They started with Garbisi playing at 10 and Tommy Allen at 15. Mm. The second half, they flipped it. They brought Tommy Allen into 10, shifted out Garbisi to 12. He's so Italian. He's so passionate, so emotional. But I just think he lets that Italian team run away with it sometimes with that emotion. And Tommy Allen, he's played a lot of rugby for Quins. He played rugby in Scotland before. He's much, much calmer, more composed 10. He just gives them a better balance. But that also frees them up to chuck the whippet back at fullback. Mm. Like, I don't know if you've seen much of this kid, but when he's on the wing, he's kind of in that little 15-metre box and he doesn't offer a lot because he must be 70 kilos soaking wet. Like, yeah. But when they can free him up in that free role, like in, you guys obviously don't watch much football, but like that free number 10 role in football where he can literally just join the game wherever he wants. They look like a different team. They did it in the second half against Namibia and then they put, 35, 40 points in them in the second half. Mm. So I'd like to see them push that forward.
Mate, love that. Do you think they can beat the All Blacks?
Not a chance. No. Hey, they're a good team and they're well organised, boys, but they're not miracle workers. They've just been stung like some teams have in this comp by unlucky draws. If they were maybe in England's group, do I back them to do a job on England or Argentina once? Potentially, throw a pool wide open. Yeah. But New Zealand and France, not a chance. Okay.
Well, that's safe. Oh, that makes me – you had me going there because I thought, geez, this team's good.
No.
Okay,
no.
Next one was Australia-Georgia. So I was pretty impressed with Australia's kicking game. I thought they were really patient with theirs, pegged Georgia right down into their half and didn't really let them get out. And then, like we spoke about in the previous show, just probably too much class, too much X factor to score tries. What do you make of this one, Surly?
Yeah, I think Aussie's back three is an exciting prospect. I was pretty rough on Eddie Jones not picking Quade Cooper and going with Ben Donaldson as kind of that utility, but maybe this was that masterstroke that the Aussie fans have been waiting for from Uncle Eddie because he's played a few rough cards so far, but maybe that was his winner. And in that back three with Corimbetti and Big Mark, they kind of have that X factor about them, which they can dish up some unusual attacking pictures to opposition sides. So I think this is exciting for Wallabies fans. And saying that, I don't think they were as good as the scoreboard suggested. There's still some patchiness to their game. And yeah, that game this week against Fiji is just mouthwatering because the Fijians showed that on their day, and I'm sure we'll speak about that soon, but they're going to push the Aussies right down to the wire. But I think Aussie and Ben Donaldson, they might have found themselves a bit of a bolter, maybe a potential hero for them in their World Cup campaign.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I was impressed with him. I didn't know he was as quick as he was. Showed a fair turn of pace when he was in space. So, I was impressed by him. And like you say, that Aussie-Fiji game this weekend is going to – it's got to be the game of the round, doesn't it? It's so hard to predict, and both sides will throw everything at it. But we'll get to the next game, England versus Argentina. We're speaking of kicking games. This was a kicking game. What'd you make of this one, Snake?
Right, this is a really weird one. I messaged Jim about this. I after the game, I watched it and I didn't know how to feel at all. I want to start by saying, like, first of all, like, geez, hell of a job from the boys to get up 14 men for 70 plus minutes in a World Cup against a good Argentina team under the pressure that those boys are under at the moment is a hell of a job. I'm so proud of every player that took the field for England to actually get them over the line there. That's in terms of the boys on the field doing the job. But in terms of the wider picture for England, it still worries me a lot. I've been really surprised by how well received the game has been back home. I think the English media and English social media can often be, you know, all or nothing. Either we're amazing or we're terrible. And there's no kind of like, okay, we've made a bit of progress in some areas, but there's still big, big concerns. And the big concern for me with this England team is 80 minutes of rugby, one line break, and again, no tries. We touched on it at the start, like there are four teams in this competition who are seriously, seriously playing a high level of rugby at the moment. And all of those teams, no matter how well you defend over 80 minutes, are going to score two tries. You can defend as well as you want. And England defended really well in this game. And like I said, the boys on the job, boys on the pitch did such a great job. But we can defend as well as we want. We are going to concede two tries against any of those big four teams. They've got great kickers. So straight away, you're looking at 14 points. You add two penalties on top of that. That's 20 points. So we're asking, if we're not going to score tries, we're asking George Ford to kick, what, 9 goals to win us a game of rugby?
He can do it.
Well, mate, if he keeps hitting 3 drop goals and finishes the rest off the tee, then, geez, fair play to him. But England win this game, yeah, for three reasons for me. Is one, Argentina, incredibly disappointing. They were, for me, the big disappointment of the round. I think
I agree.
Maybe a slightly new experience for them coming in potentially to a group in the World Cup as a favourite. And with the favourable draw, potentially looking at like they've obviously been to semi-finals before, but a favourable run to a semi-final. It looked like they were scared to me. They look really low on confidence. And we've all been in that situation on the field where you don't know whether to stick or twist. And I think they got themselves in that little situation a few times against 14 men England. The second point was a George Ford masterclass. Like, that is the best example of how to play when you're down to 14 players in a World Cup game with a team that can't get you any line breaks. This is the best performance I've ever seen him have in terms of the situation and then the context of the game. And the third point was just, like I said, the shift the boys put in for 14 lads to play for 70 minutes. I can't tell you how tired some of those boys would have been at the end. But that's why England win the game. And I still have serious, serious concerns about the team moving forward in terms of the sort of lack of any kind of creativity potential in attack. I haven't seen them offer anything that gets me excited. And again, no tries.
Yeah.
No tries.
Right. It is interesting, and it's a fascinating insight, because I do think that was definitely a masterclass on how to play with 14 men. Like, they didn't have to overplay, but like you say, that's not just been a one-off. That's been what they've been doing every week for the last sort of few years. So it'll be interesting to see whether they adapt this weekend playing against Japan. Very different style. So it'll be a good one to watch. But great win for them. I wasn't picking them to beat Argentina, but like you say, really disappointed with the way Argentina played, especially against a 14-man English side. I just wasn't quite sure what their plan was there. So yeah, it's going to be tough for them now. But we'll get to the next one, Japan versus Chile. Nothing really changed for me in this one. Got to see a few Chilean players in the flesh playing on live TV, which was good to see. Some of them can play, eh? What do you make of this one, Surly?
Yeah, it was an interesting game. I think the scoreboard flattered Japan towards the end. I thought Chile were actually a lot better than what I expected.
Yeah,
so
great.
Well done to them. It's just so cool to see them in the World Cup. Clearly they're loving the experience, and they're a lot better of a football side than I expected. So I thought it was quite a positive kind of debut for them. Worrying for Japan, man, like just the fall off from their last World Cup through to now, it's not great. I think they've really taken a couple steps back, and I think they'll struggle throughout this tournament, but focus on the positives, and well done to Chile. It was cool to see something a bit different from them.
Yeah, agree, but we'll get to the next one, South Africa versus Scotland. Now, South Africa just sort of strangled them in typical South Africa fashion. What'd you make of this game, Snakey?
Mate, I thought South Africa's defence was phenomenal. I was watching the game and thinking like that is a seriously talented Scotland backline who've shown some serious razzle over the last few Six Nations. I mean, obviously I'm an England supporter, and we've not got close to them for the last 2.5-3 years. And that South Africa team shut them down. Like, I was watching the game trying to think how could Scotland change this up to create something for them? And I was like, oh, maybe a flat kick pass, maybe a 50. Like, that's, yeah, they run that hissing line out starter play, you see, from the overthrow with the reverse ball. But then other than that, like, that is a seriously dangerous Scotland backline in South Africa. Apart from that one starter play where they got them, they just shut them down. Like, I obviously don't need to talk about South Africa at set piece. I actually thought Scotland did a really good job at set piece for the first 50 minutes. But then those boys bring on the bomb squad, and it's like, Imagine you play against the best front row in the world for 50 minutes, and then they bring on the second best front row in the world for 30 minutes. Like, imagine how that would kill your morale.
Yeah.
But that was it for me. Like, just Finn Russell's a hell of a player. There's some seriously talented other guys in that back line. They're really, really well coached and organized attack, and they could do nothing against it. That defense looked mean for me.
Yeah. And what about you, Sirle? I know you rate South Africa. You put them a big chance of going all the way. Did nothing change for you after that one, obviously?
Yeah, well, I actually really rate Scotland. So I think the fact that South Africa were able to do that against a quality Scottish side kind of bumped South Africa up more in my rankings. I've really enjoyed watching Scotland play over the last kind of 18 months. They've been a massive improver for me. And just the exciting brand of football that they play, like Snakey mentioned, that line-out move, I wish they executed that and just one more pass and they would have scored one of the great kind of set-piece rugby tries, but just wasn't to be. There's always a winger in the team that's got that show-and-go in them. But yeah, I think South Africa, they just know the big occasions, don't they? They just always stand up and they seem to peak right at the right time. 6 weeks ago back in New Zealand, they looked awful and everyone was kind of saying that they're no chance, but then their last two performances have been massive, so they're right up there. It's just going to come quarterfinals time, who they face, that kind of determines how far they go.
Yeah, man, that quarterfinal is going to be tough as an All Black fan, whether you want to play South Africa or Ireland, I'm not sure. And that's a game that we missed too, by the way, Ireland Romania. Not many surprises there. Massive score from Ireland, who put out a strong squad and were just far too clinical. But good to see Johnny Sexton back out there running amok, as he does. So did anyone change your opinion on Ireland or Romania from that game?
Nah, not at all. It's a dream start for Ireland, isn't it? Similar to what I mentioned about Argentina the other day. Like, when you come in to a World Cup as the number one ranked team in the world, and they'll be expecting a lot more from themselves than previous years. Like, at home in Europe, this is definitely seen as like a golden generation of Irish rugby. And I'm sure a lot of those guys in that camp probably feel like it's now or never for them. Just, you know, they've been phenomenal in the last few Six Nations. They're ranked number one in the world. And carrying that into a tournament can be really difficult for teams sometimes when they're not used to it. So to start against Romania and actually have, I don't want to disrespect Romania, but have a game where you essentially can get some meters in your legs, get some confidence up, get everyone to get their hands on the ball. Like, it's a dream start for a World Cup situation for them, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's another easy one again for them this week too, really. So they get to really build up into their Rugby World Cup, like you say. But the last game was the game of the round for me, Wales versus Fiji. Loved watching this one. Fiji throw everything. Man, I love watching that side play. But Wales just hung on at the end there. And what could have been if Radradra caught that, they weren't stopping him. So small moments decide these games, these close games. And there's definitely one of those games where it was decided by small moments, and then everyone, when a game's decided by small moments, everyone chooses the one man in the middle that it's his fault. So what did you make of this game, Snake?
In terms of Wales, like, again, I don't know how much media coverage you guys will get on context for Wales. Like, this is a huge win for them with the last 18 months considered. Similar to England, there is serious, like, well-reported domestic issues in terms of the infrastructure and funding in Welsh rugby at the moment. You obviously saw a load of very, very high-profile Wales players retire like weeks out from the World Cup. There's a lot of guys going off to France, a lot of guys, you know, leaving the country. With all those things considered and how poor they've been for the last 18 months, like, this was a massive game for those lads. And to make the quarterfinals at this World Cup on that backdrop of the last 18 months for them would be a huge success. And I was really impressed with them, eh? Like, geez, I just looked at some of the stats afterwards. They made 230 tackles to Fiji's 80.
Yeah, that's like, huge, eh?
That is a hell of a shift from those lads. And look, they weren't pretty to watch at times, and they certainly got lucky with some calls and maybe a bit of sort of like lack of accuracy at times from Fiji, and I think they really did miss having their regular guy at 10. But look, Wales got over the line, and ultimately that's all they have to do in this World Cup. They have to just try and get over the line and get the best results possible.
They certainly did that. What do you make of Fiji, Sirle?
Oh, they're just a pleasure to watch, aren't they? Like, I think as a mutual fan, when you sit down and watch this game, Like, that is the type of rugby you want to see being played. So many teams now, we mentioned the kicking games, some of the inaccuracies around their game plan, but Fiji, they kind of just throw caution to the wind, and that's what rugby is kind of all about. So I was almost more gutted to see them lose than the All Blacks to lose, just because you got so emotionally invested in that game throughout it. And I think Fiji, for most Kiwis anyway, they're probably our second favourite side to get behind. So it was a bit heartbreaking, but also a great tip of the cap, another sign that they are right there with these kind of top eight teams in world rugby at the moment, and they're no longer going into these big games as underdogs, which is a real testament to them. Like, we're now speaking of them as a genuine chance to beat the Wallabies. They should have bet Wales, they bet England. Like, the fact that we're talking about Fiji in that type of status is pretty crazy. When you wind back maybe 2 years ago, they were a side that would come to New Zealand and would put 50 on them, whereas now you'd be a bit nervous taking them on.
Yeah, you're right. And like we spoke about last week, I think the Drua have had a big say in that. So it's awesome to see that sort of reflect into the international game. But just before we get into the preview, I'll quickly review my fantasy side. And if any of you guys want to review your one, just jump in. But my side was tracking okay up until the Japan game. Absolute costly game for me. Had Himeno late withdrawn. Obviously, it was a 1 a.m. kickoff, so I had no chance to sub him out last minute. Absolutely gutted there. He got 0 points. And my late change in the centres, I brought in old Dylan, the 13, who is an absolute gun in the top league over there, and he ended up with a negative 1 points from a yellow card slap down. So that was super costly for me. Just when I was looking all right to get quite a big score, those two absolutely break me, because the guys I took out was the other Japanese centre and Michael Leach, who ended up combining for 87 points. So that is 87 points that should be on my tally, but that's the part of the game we love. Also, no tries for J-Lo. I spoke about him getting sort of two or three, and as my captain, I was expecting a lot more from him, but he did rack up some stats. He got a lot of tackle breaks, line breaks around meter, so he still picked up a relatively good score, so I wasn't too upset there. And the only thing that made me feel better about my week was that my brother captained Dylan at 13. So he picked up a whopping negative 2 from his captain. So a huge week for him. Made me feel a lot better about my round. But the biggest letdown from the game so far has been that you can't actually track other players' scores live. So you can only see everyone else's score at the end, which is pretty disappointing. So when you're watching the game live, you can only really see the guys that you've got. So that would be a nice addition for World Rugby if they could add that in before the end of the World Cup. And other than that, pass score, I think, I was expecting the scores to sort of be 50 points would be a pass, but I think it's a lot lower than that. Guys are picking up a lot less points than I thought they would. I think 30 is a sort of pass mark, and if you've got your captain, you'll be wanting around 50 is probably your pass. How do you guys go in your fantasy first round?
Well, I forgot to submit my team completely. So,
mate, that was the first rule of the Waterlad preview show.
Yeah, look, it's tough being overseas, you know, on tour. You often get distracted by other things. So, yeah, fair to say this week I'll be looking to lock it down, but I've probably lost touch with the front of the pack. So it's all about pride for me now.
Yeah. What about you, Snake? You would have George Ford.
Yeah, this is a great section for the podcast, eh? I'm not on it. I'm not on it because I'm already in too many high stakes fantasy sports league. One of them is full of absolute crook blokes like Blair Cowan, and it's taken very seriously. So that takes up too much of my time to commit. Although, Jimmy, you moaning about the time difference, mate. If you've got my eBank details and you need me to make evening changes for you over here, mate, just shoot it my way.
Okay, done. Okay, we'll get into the preview anyway, even though you don't play fantasy. This week is a great week for fantasy because it is all pretty one-sided games, barring two, I think. So there could be a lot of points on the line if you're playing fantasy rugby or players to watch anyway. But we'll go through the games. First game is obviously France-Uruguay. Wholesale changes for France. Snake, any insight to these French players, anyone to look out for?
Yeah, absolutely, mate. I've got one lad and he is absolute razzle, Anton Hastoy, the 10 that they brought in this week. Okay. I think you guys might not have seen a huge amount of him, but the fact that he's third choice 10 coming into this World Cup for France says more about French rugby's depth than it does about him. He is a serious player. He was the 10 for La Rochelle this year, took them to a European Cup final. Obviously, he's been working with Ronan O'Gara, so there's that massive sort of Crusaders influence that comes through Rog, a massive focus on quick ball, you know, that keep ball alive mentality La Rochelle play with. And this guy just embodies that. He's triple threat, run, pass, kick. He's skills deluxe. And yeah, for me, like, against a Uruguay team this week, you know, French, like you said, have obviously rotated, but they don't drop any quality. And if there's one thing guaranteed this weekend, it's that he's going to get quick ball, front football. And like I said, this guy is razzle, lad. So for me, he's an easy pick for this game.
Mate, that is a good shout. I didn't know much about him. I knew he obviously played for La Rochelle, but yeah, that's a great shout and looking forward to seeing him out there. And probably a good option for fantasy players, but he won't be in my fantasy team at 10 because there's only one man I want at my 10 jersey this week, and it's in this next game. It's All Blacks versus Namibia. D-Mac, the fantasy guru. He has been ever since he started his career. His game has revolved around fantasy. He's got tackle breaks in him. He's running meters, try assists, tries. Oh, the absolute fantasy king. So I'm looking to see him rack up a huge score against Namibia. And I'm looking to even triple captain him. I'm going to use my big power play this week on him. He'll be goal kicking. I think he'll move to fullback late potentially when Richie comes on, hopefully, or else there'll be a few points wasted there. But who are you looking forward to seeing out there in this All Black team? Surely they've obviously rung the changes as well.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing Cam Roygaard go about his work. I thought we could have really done with him off the bench last week. His impact against South Africa, he was probably the main positive from that game where we got pumped. So I'm looking forward to seeing that Cam and D-Mac combo. Maybe that's a bit of a nod to 2024 and how we could move forward as an All Black side with the 9-10 duo. And then also Lester Whanganuku. I think he's going to have a massive game on the weekend. On the wing, I think the Namibians are really going to struggle to handle him. So line breaks and tries galore. He'll be another one that I reckon you should chuck in your fantasy team. And I'll chuck him in if I remember too, mate.
Mate, you're a step ahead of me. I've got him lined up into my team as well. Like you said, he's got the fantasy game in him. And yeah, I'm expecting a big score from him as well. Next game is Samoa, Chile. Snake, what do you know about these Chileans that we don't?
Oh, the team of what a lad. Jeez, I loved that. I loved watching them last week, boys. That Japan game, for the first 40 minutes, I absolutely loved it, man. It was like professional full contact con games. Like, the boys were just going at each other. It was great to watch. Like we said in the review, like I was impressed, man. There's some seriously good runners and some smart footballers. They really struggled at set piece time against Japan. Like, maul-wise, scrum-wise, they got absolutely filled in. And then I feel like it's going to be another step up again for them this week. And it's going to be really tough for them to get in the game if their set piece is going like that. But the one I picked to watch was the fullback Ayarza. Sorry for any of the Chilean What a Lad listeners if my pronunciation's bad. I've not touched up on my Chilean in a long time. But really, really good player. He looked against Japan. Seriously balanced runner. Love that goosey to the outside and the big left-arm fend. Look really, really, really difficult. One of those guys look really, really difficult to tackle. Like, he's all elbows and knees when he runs. So maybe he's cheap. Maybe an outside fantasy shout for some meters and maybe a score.
Yeah, nice option. I like that. He did look very classy, didn't he? One of my new favourites as well. But first look at Samoa for us. Obviously, the bye of the first round. Looking forward to seeing this team out there. They've named a very good squad. A lot of ex-All Blacks like the Lima, Kiwis like Ben Lamb and stuff, adding to the mix. I think they've got a really powerful squad. I think they're a good chance, actually. What do you make of them? Who are you looking forward to seeing out there, Shirley?
Yeah, you mentioned that those ex-All Blacks coming in to bolster this squad, and that's what I think really gives them a great crack. They're so physical, so yeah, I feel a little sorry for the Chileans because I think they're going to really struggle in that contact area. We saw they like to play fast and whatnot, but Samoa, they're coming in fresh. They're going to be looking to make a statement, and there could be some bruising shots going in. But I'm looking forward to seeing Lima Sopoanga again. I've always been a massive fan of watching him go about his work, and I think he pushes them right up onto the edge of those kind of top-tier nations. So fingers crossed. We saw in that Pacific Nations Cup, they were one of the sides that impressed me the most. So they'll be looking for a big campaign, and no doubt they're eyeing up some of those top sides in their pool and thinking, we could be in with a real shot here. I think we mentioned in that first week, England Samoa, that last game to finish, there could be a fair bit riding on that.
Yeah, well, the way Argentina played in the weekend, yeah, you'd almost be backing Samoa to be beating them on that performance. So, yeah, it's an interesting pool, that one. Looking forward to following that one. Our next game is Wales versus Portugal. So I don't know much about Portugal. You probably do, Snake, but and I know you certainly know a lot about Wales. So looking forward to your preview here.
Yeah, for sure. Look, like I said, I don't know anything about Portugal, boys. Sometimes being closer to a country just doesn't help you enough. I got nothing for Portugal, but like I was so surprised and so happy to see the way Chile played. I mean, the result was a bit disappointing, but the way they played, so I'm hoping for similar from Portugal. Like, these teams have turned up and showed that they know what they're doing, and they can be competitive at least for a half. I think these sides all struggle when the bench comes on in the second half and you get world-class fresh players coming on against you. My one to watch, Jimmy, is our dear friend this week and former member of your London gambling syndicate, Johnny Williams, comes into the midfield for his first start. Like, against a team where I anticipate Wales are going to be getting quality set-piece ball and quick ball, like, makes Johnny a serious threat in midfield. Like, the guy can do it all. He's got an awesome offload game. He's got the longest arms I've ever seen on a man. And if he gets those through contact and gets them free to, like, Louis Rhys-Zammit's in behind the Portuguese line, I can see him picking up a few assists. He's a fantastic ball carrier. He's going to get him gain line, guaranteed. And he's a better ball player than people give him credit for as well, don't you think, Jim? Like, he sees space well, he distributes well. So for me, him coming into a midfield with quick ball and some set-piece dominance, I think he's an easy picker in the midfield to be the one to watch.
Jeez, that is a good shout. He wasn't in my team, but I think I might have to reassess, because you're right, against that Portugal side, he will be all over them with his guaranteed gain line that he always gets. But there will only be one person cheering him home more than me, and that will be Adrian, his financial advisor.
Best in the business.
Best in the business. He'll be looking forward to that. But, yeah, I've gone for Rhys-Zammit. He's in my team. Like, I think he's one of the players this weekend who's going to be on the end of that back line and have an absolute fielder. He is so fast, isn't he? He must be the fastest man in the game, I reckon.
He'd certainly be up there. Maybe some bias. I think Henry Arundel's the fastest player I've ever seen in my life, but England won't pick him, so it doesn't matter. mate, Rhys-Zammit's my other pick. I went for Johnny, obviously, because there's a bit of love there as well. But I do think he'll be a serious pick, and you might be able to get him on the cheap because he didn't play last week. But Rhys-Zammit has got to be looking at a hat-trick against Portugal with his gas, doesn't he?
Yeah,
I don't want to give him the James Lowe treatment you gave last week, but hat-trick guaranteed.
Triple captain.
Triple captain him now.
There we go. Okay, next game is Ireland Tonga. Now this will be a bit more interesting. First look at Tonga, a little bit like Samoa. They've brought in some ex All Blacks and a few Kiwis to sort of strengthen up their squad. What do you make of their side, Surly?
Yeah, I think again we mentioned it kind of in that first week of the preview. I was quite disappointed with their performances in that Pacific Nations Cup, just because of how stacked they are on paper. There's so many big names, especially in that back line. Fikitoa, Pulu, Charles Piatau, George Mawala, who of course unfortunately won't be in this one, but you just straight away expect them to be right up there with the top teams. So hopefully, I think they're one of those sides that the more time they spend together, the better they will get. So now they've kind of had a couple months as a unit, and they've kind of built a bit of a culture. So I expect them to be a whole lot better than what we saw at the start. Will they push Ireland? I don't think so. I still think Ireland will get them in that kind of 20 to 30 point mark, but I do expect it to be quite bruising. And it's one of those games for Ireland where you're just hoping you don't come out of it with some injuries, because Tonga are going to want to bring the physicality. So Ireland almost have more to lose than they have to gain.
Yeah, do you agree with that, Snake? You're picking that sort of score from the Irish?
Yeah, absolutely. I've got Ireland by 25 down here, so I've split the difference on you there, Surly. I came on to disagree with people. Sorry. I completely agree with everything you said. Like, geez, Tonga looks so stacked, don't they? That if you look at the individual players in the lineup, my only concern with them this week is, like, Ireland are such a well-organised and well-coached team. I think in terms of pure coaching and organisation, they're one of the strongest teams I've ever seen. And they absolutely thrive on guys trying to do things by themselves and coming out to find solutions. And it only takes one or two of those Tongan lads to come try and tee off on Sexton or make a big hit out the line. And that Irish team, 1-15, like, they have such clarity on their shape. They all understand the shape. They all understand what they're trying to achieve. and someone will jump out the line to hit Sexton, and Tag Furlong will put someone through a hole on a short line, or 1 to 15, they have that ability at the line. So I think while Tonga have a very, very strong squad, and I also anticipate probably some injuries, these are the kind of games that if you go up a few points against them, you don't come out unscathed. But it's just a really bad matchup for Tonga. Like, the reason I picked Ireland to be the one team that can beat France is because they thrive on guys being super aggressive against them and trying to do their own thing. And yeah, if any of the Tongan boys try to jump out the line or go for some massive hits, then they could end up under their own sticks.
Yeah, that's a good point, because I agree with you. I think Ireland are the most sort of in sync side at the World Cup. Like, they obviously play together a lot throughout the year with Leinster, majority of them in Leinster, and then add in a few different players from other sides, but they jump straight into the game plan of what they're trying to do, and they're all so in sync. So I love watching Ireland play, and I do give them a real good shout of going the whole way. So it's going to be a good game. Next game is South Africa versus Romania. South Africa look sharp. They'll rotate their squad, I'd imagine, or they have rotated their squad. So what do you make of their side? Who are we looking out for, Surly?
I noticed they've named 4 halfbacks in the 23. So look, I'm all for creativity. That's what it's all about. They've cut out all 4, so straight away.
Yeah, they've gone from 7-2 to the opposite end. 7-1, sorry, 7-1.
We're unorthodox here at Waterland, so I've never seen it. 4 halfbacks in a squad, and I'm looking forward to it. She's probably a world first. So, yeah, it's going to be a different look South Africa team. I think Mpimpi's the guy that I've highlighted just because I think he could have a day on the wing. He's a weapon anyway, but up against the weakened Romania side, I think he'd be in for a couple tries as well. I'm not saying triple captain. I'm not that bold. I don't want those DMs spraying me. But, yeah, South Africa will still be too strong, but they've clearly seen it as a week to maybe rest some of those frontline players and get some Ks in the legs, like Snakey mentioned before, against some of these potentially lesser teams, because the World Cup's so long and it's all about rotation. You need to peak at the right time. And again, this is another of those games where you could just have an injury that you really don't need.
I didn't notice they had 4 nines in the squad. So how's that work? They've got 1 starting and 3 on the bench.
I think 2 starting, 2 on the bench.
Jeez, Razi just loves to rattle people, doesn't he? Absolutely lives for it.
Oh, even those signals, that's elite.
Oh, mate, they mean 100%, they mean nothing. 100% he's just fucking with people on Twitter.
It's so good.
Blake loves it. He'll have a new burner account by the end of the week, winding people up.
The rubber ducky, so good.
Can I pick ones to watch at the whole front row?
Yes.
For a penalty try?
Yeah.
Like, I can't pick one guy out of that unit, but geez, I touched on it in the review as well. Like, what do they call them? The bomb squad? Mm. I can't imagine anything worse than playing against those guys, man. Like, so I don't know how props go in the fantasy league, or if you get points for shove overs and stuff. But if you do, geez, stack it with Safa front rowers this week. Mm. I can see them getting a few more tries and a shove over.
You get points for winning a scrum. I'm not sure.
Oh, mate, get them all in. Triple captain.
All 3 of them. 9 captain.
I don't know who's awarded the penalty try if it's a pushover, to be honest. That's a good question for the World Rugby Association. But the next two are probably the big games. Well, this is the biggest game of the round for me. Australia versus Fiji. Surly, start with you on Australia. What are you looking forward to on this one, or who are you looking to watch?
Yeah, we highlighted that back 3 before. I think if you're going to play a team at their own game, then those 3 are the lads that could do it if that's the way they go. So Big Mark and Kotambeti, they're both Fijian lads as well, so they'll probably have a bit of a target on their head. But if Fiji kind of want to play that razzle-dazzle game and turn over a bit of football, then that back 3 can really make them pay. It's going to be a real battle, though, for Aussie. I think they're going to just have to try play that textbook structure like Wales did, play in the right areas, force mistakes, and then live off those. Because, yeah, Fiji, if they're allowed to play high tempo, offload, get behind gain line, they'll make you pay as well. So hopefully Fiji haven't been too dampened by that disheartening loss, because that emotionally would have really taken a toll on them. We saw Big Semi was crying there at full time. So hopefully they've flushed that one and got back up, because, yeah, this is an exciting game for me, and I genuinely think they're a shot to win this game.
What are you going?
I'm going to go Fiji 1-12, mate. You know I love an underdog story.
Yeah.
It would be iconic stuff. Imagine in a calendar year of rugby if they can knock off England and Aussie.
Yeah.
Crazy.
How good. What about you, Snake? You won't be agreeing with that, surely.
Yeah, Surly, I think you smashed it, mate. I think emotionally and physically that game on the weekend is going to take a toll on them. They don't have the same depth that, like we mentioned, with those big four teams. So you would imagine it's going to be the same lineup to front up, you know, on a short turn, a shortish turnaround against Australia. I've gone Australia by 12 because I think two reasons. One, I worry about that emotional hangover from Fiji, man. They put so much into that game, and to lose it right at the end, you know, those guys love their country so much. They love playing for Fiji so much. I can just see a few of them really struggling to shake it this week, and maybe take them 10, 15, 20 minutes to get into this next game against Aussie, which might be too late if what I think could happen is Australia finally click this week. I think I saw glimpses of them against Georgia last week, and Georgia are a better team than people realise, I think. They didn't actually perform that well last week against Oz, but again, they definitely don't fit into that category with Chile and Romania and stuff like that. They are definitely closer towards the Six Nations teams, the bottom end of the Six Nations teams. And I saw enough in that Australia team to think that they could really click. I'd love Fiji to do it, man. Before the tournament, I was anyone who would listen to me. I was telling Fiji are going to win this group. Fiji are going to win this group. And I'd still love them to go for it. But I just think they're unlucky with the draw that they've had the two games back to back. And that combined with, I think, Australia clicking it together. And I'm not going to go against Eddie Jones in a World Cup, man. His record of teams turning up at World Cups is just unparalleled over 20 years now. So, yeah, Australia by 12.
Australia by 12. All right. I find this game so hard. I could see it sort of going both ways, which is obviously the easiest answer. But I think if Australia control the kicking game, and like they did against Georgia, I think Fiji will really struggle. They do struggle to exit. When they're camped in their 22, they look to play a lot. So I think they kick the least in the comp. Just naturally, they love to play. That's their natural instinct. But they've got so many game breakers, so the game can just change so quickly. We saw it in the Wales game where just two tries sort of out of nothing, back to back, and they've got momentum and they're just so hard to stop. So I'd love to see Fiji win. Like I said, I'd love to see them get to the quarterfinals. And I think they have to win this to get there. I could imagine Australia will beat Wales. So if they win this one, I think they're a real good chance of still making it. So. Yeah, I'll be winding home Fiji, but I'm not confident with it at all. I think it could literally go either way, and it will be probably decided by that man in the middle who everyone is loving at the moment, which is always good to see. But the next game, the last game of the round, England versus Japan. We've spoken about England a lot in the review sort of side of it, Japan as well. Where do we see this game going? Snake, this is a game for you, I reckon.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know how to feel about this England team. I think they'll get over the line, and I think it'll be a similar performance to Argentina, hopefully with some better discipline. Like, I know the red card for Tom Curry. Like, I don't know if you guys saw the replays from the South Africa game as well. Like, no one knows what a bloody red card is these days. So I don't want to pick out Tom Curry because it's so difficult, man. Like, but when does an individual problem stop being an individual problem and begin to become a team problem if it keeps happening? And England keep playing rugby with less than 15 players on the field. So, I don't know. If England get a red card early and they have to go hard work again and Japan decide to turn up, it could be a close game. But realistically, I think England are just going to shut it down. Big Courtney Laws. They won't change the team at all this week, I'd imagine. They'll go pretty much the same team that played Argentina because Borthwick's going to want some consistency from that group, and he's not going to change a winning team when they've not won before. Yeah, look, some Tuilagi front football and then probably forward kicking with momentum and maybe England by 15 with a load of goals.
Yeah, any tries? That's the real question.
Yeah, go on. I'll give one. Tuilagi gets over for one. Tuilagi gets over for one.
You really forced that. What about you, Surly? Do you think Japan can get up?
Nah, unfortunately, I don't. I agree with kind of what everything Snakey said, but I think England will just have too much quality across the park. Hopefully, more than one line break. And if they're going up in threes, this is probably a game I'll turn off at halftime, to be honest, because I have no association with the English, and I think the style of play they play at the moment, probably not going to win the hearts of mutual fans. And saying that, like,
being like a 10, you obviously admire George Ford. Like, that people don't realize, like, everyone's like, oh, drop goals, it's such a hard skill to master. So what he does is crazy. He's so talented. But if you're sitting down on the couch and you want to watch an entertaining game of footy, that's probably not what you're after. So hopefully the English can score a few tries. I think they should be kind of, again, 20 to 30 points better than the Japanese. But whether that's what we see play out, it'll be interesting to watch, because this is a game where England can kind of build some momentum now. They've struggled to get back-to-back wins for a long time. So, yeah, I expect their top team to be out there as well, and they need to make a statement here.
It's a game of contrasting styles again too, isn't it? It's going to be the strangle of England with the kicking game and set piece, and the speed of Japan, who love to play with tempo and quick ball. So it's going to be fascinating to watch the contrasting styles go at it. But I'm with you guys. I think just the dominance of the set piece and kicking game will be sort of too much from England. And I know people don't like a drop. I love a drop goal. I think it's an awesome part of the game, which is definitely underused because it is so hard to do. Like, you try and get in the pocket and put a bit of fake pressure on yourself, and, man, they're pretty hard to get over. So anyone who can do it consistently, they deserve every 3 points they get. So good to see the return of the drop kick. Whether we'll see a few more. I saw a stat. England, George Ford kicked more drop goals in, what was it, 8 minutes than the All Blacks have in the last 4 years. So it sort of goes to show how many the All Blacks kick. It's not in our repertoire, but England definitely, in George Ford's mind, one of the first thoughts when they're not going anywhere, to just get in that pocket and go up in threes, which is fair play. I enjoyed seeing a few drop goals.
Yeah.
What do you make of the drop goal, Snake?
I think it's thinking outside the box. Like, it's seen as a negative thing because it's obviously kicking, and then there's the associated thing with kicking and accumulating a score, and it's not great to watch. But, like, mate, if I was playing 10 for that team, which obviously I'm nowhere near good enough to do.
You're not far off, Snake. Like, you're being harsh on yourself.
Hang in there, son.
But, thanks, boys. But I don't understand how else you'd score points at times. So for me, I'd see it as like no different to like a cross kick or like a tap and go. Like, it is Ford clearly identifying in the week, like, geez, I don't know if we're going to be able to get over the whitewash here. So I'm going to have to find other ways to score points when we lose momentum 40 out. And like Jimmy said, mate, they're hard enough to kick in training by yourself after the session when no one's watching, let alone when you've got 15 Argentinians trying to chew your face off. Like, it's a serious, serious skill. And like, it is a bit of a last resort, eh? But it's for me, it's thinking outside the box, and like, he deserves all the plaudits he gets for that, because it's clutch and it's such a difficult skill to execute.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I like that. That's a very, very good point. Okay, I know you guys aren't playing fantasy, and we've mainly gone through our fantasy guys throughout this preview, but I will get a prediction from you. I want your finalists now. Obviously, the first round's gone, so who are you predicting to be in the final? Now that we've seen most of the teams, start with you, Snake.
Okay, I'm not 100% sure on how the splits work on the draw. I've tried to work it out, but I can't think ahead of time of where runners-up and pool winners finish. But I think France, South Africa. Like I said, and this is my what a lad caveat, unless they draw Ireland in the quarters or semi, then France go to the final. And I think South Africa walk through, potentially, whichever side they go through.
Okay, nice one.
Sorry, boys. Sorry.
No, I like that. So, do you think Ireland will beat South Africa?
Oh, it's a good game. I don't know. It's a really good matchup. I'm sorry, Jim. I don't know.
No, that's all right, mate.
Ask me the week of the game when there's context and team selection and stuff. I can't tell you now, man.
Okay, fair enough, mate. We don't want you making stuff up. We want facts from you.
Yeah, so the What a Lad listeners are serious code heads. I don't want to put anything out there that I don't believe.
Fair enough, and that's, I totally agree with that thought. So what about you, Shirley? Who are your finalists?
Well, my heart is telling me to go with the game we just saw on the weekend, but a flip in results. All Blacks will beat France. It'll be one of the great fairy tale stories, a massive turnaround. The nation will love the boys again, and Fozzie will go out on a high. He'll become Sir Ian Foster, the first bloke to have ever potentially lost his job and then gone on to win the World Cup. In all seriousness, I don't know if I believe that. I think winning the quarterfinal, if we can win that, then we win it from there. But that's going to be the hardest roadblock for the rest of our run home. So we're almost targeting that quarterfinal as the final. But I'd love to see All Blacks France take two when we have Sam Kane, Geordie Barrett, Lomax. That's not an excuse. The French were still way too good, but we still have some Cavs to come back and really boost this team and make our 23 a whole lot stronger. So fingers crossed.
Blackadder as well. Cannot wait to see that, man. but it's an interesting one. Like we're building to this quarterfinal, but we've played our big game against France, which we've lost, and now we've got Namibia this week. We've got a bye, then we're into Italy, and we've got Uruguay, and then we're straight into a massive quarterfinal, which is basically going to decide where they finish. It will either be against South Africa or Ireland. Don't want to be playing either of those sides in a quarterfinal, to be fair. So hell of a run. So if they are going to do it, they're going to have to be very, very good, and they're going to have to improve of what we saw on Friday very quickly. Another one I want from you, Snake, top try scorer in the comp. I don't think that changed after the weekend, but who's going to finish top try scorer in this Rugby World Cup?
Yeah, if I align it with my predictions, then Penaud has to be the top try scorer, I think. Like, the guy just finishes for fun. And on the end of that French team, he's got multiple ways to score. He's not he's not one of those wingers that's like a gas man from distance on intercepts and long distance line breaks. And he's not a close range pick and go finisher or a sort of like high ball cross kick merchant in goal. He does everything. He's got multiple ways to score. I think his support play is fantastic. He's a smart player and a great athlete. So Penaud is the one that stands out to me right now as the obvious pick. I wanted to pick somebody who's not a winger, but it's such an easy pick, eh? If Ireland go all the way, then Gibson Park for top try scorer. There's a rogue prediction for you. Jeez, the guy's support play is unbelievable.
Yeah, mate, that is a very rogue shout. I'll be very surprised if he's in that sort of 7 to 8.
The only thing that could hurt him, I reckon, is if Ireland adapt this 4 halfback policy, then
yeah. You know, when South Africa win this week, yeah.
You could struggle for just wearing on the paddock.
And last one from your Snake, player of the tournament.
Yep, this is a real bold one, lads. I'm really going to throw one out here. Anton Dupont. I don't know if you boys have heard of him, but he's a decent player for France. I think he's going to go all right, and I think a few people will be talking about him by the end of the tournament.
Yeah, mate. Well, I think we both sort of agreed with that one. If France win the World Cup, it's...
Yeah, unless South Africa win, then they need to give it split to the entire bomb squad, 6-man player of the tournament.
Yeah. Oh, mate, well, geez, what a fascinating insight from your Snake. Very glad we got you on. Good to hear some European insight into the game over there. And Surly, as always, very good insight from you. Coming from Greece, you guys together, what a dream team for the Waterlad Preview Show. Appreciate you both coming on. Absolute lads.
Thanks for having me on, man. It was really good fun to actually watch the games this week and be sort of invested in having to think about all of them rather than just chucking one in the background while I do the hoovering. I really enjoyed it, man.
Man, good stuff. Love your work. Same to you, Sterling.
Yeah, go well, lads, and enjoy the code, eh? I feel a bit more informed now about the old hemispheres, you know, a bit more enlightened to a different breed of footy, so I'll be watching this week with a closer eye.
Yeah, mate, we're all learning.
Hey, kick your goals, boys.
Take your points. See you, lads. What a lad, what a lad.